Thank you for listening to Eclipsed Epics. You're listening to Season 2, Episode 26, Postscript. We have finally reached the end of Season 2 of Eclipsed Epics, which was the Winter War, or as I like to call it, Stalin Stumble. In this episode, we're going to go over probably more in depth the sources. I mentioned the main three sources I used for the series or the season in episode either 20 or 21. I can't remember off the top of my head. Could have been 19 too. And I want to get into them a little bit more. We're going to talk about like what I think about this season, how I feel it went, and we're also going to discuss what's to come in extended epics, at least episode 3 and episode 4, maybe 5 and 6, you never know. But what I want to start with is thanking you for listening to this, because it is a series and season or a podcast that gets irregularly released. I think I've done, this is going to be the 26th this season, so I've done somewhere around like 50 episodes total since I started this in 2019. And, you know, that doesn't really make for a good recipe in a content-craved society as we are in right now. But I would like to start talking about the timeline of how I started this to give you an idea of, like, my process. Because there are podcasters out here that do this, release an episode every week or every 2 weeks, and their scripts are, if they have like a 35 minute episode, their scripts are pretty long, like 8 pages or something like that, if I had to guess. And that's something that I'm in awe of, your ability to write that much and edit it and then record it and then do it again the next week or 2 weeks after. It's something that I very much strive for. Whether I actually get there is another story. So I started research for this on March 30th, 2019, which I'm recording this on October 25th, 2023, which is about 4.5 years in the future, which is insane for a 4-month war, which, again, I'm going to go ahead and say, is insane. The first episode I released, which was the intro of the season, where I get into the sources, like, tell you what, like, why I'm doing it, how I'm doing it, what my sources are, was November 8th, 2021. So, in theory, well, not in theory, like, it took probably, if I had to guess, like, a year and a half to research. It took me probably closer to a year to write and edit it. And I also got the benefit of getting COVID, which is a weird sentence to say because getting COVID sucks. But I got the benefit of getting COVID at kind of the beginning of the pandemic where we cared. So I got a week and a half off of work. And after I started not feeling like total crap, which was like 2 to 3 to 4 days in, I started really hammering on that script. And I got that done in that week. I just treated it like a, you know, normal 8-hour job. And I'm like, oh my God, this is a lot easier when I have a lot of time to do it. The first scripted episode was released a week later on November 15th, 2021. The last scripted episode released was about 9 months later. It looks like 9 months later, on August 15th, 2022. And the last episode, which was the last epilogue episode, was released on February 1st, 2023. So once again, more than 4 years, 4.5 years, to finish a 4-month war, which is insane, right? But in my defense, it's not only a 4-month war. I started this, if you remember correctly, with Peter the Great, which is 200 years before the start, more than 200 years before the start of the Winter War. And I think that was a logical place to draw the line, because when Peter the Great finds St. Petersburg, or found St. Petersburg, however you want to put it, it literally sowed the seeds for a future conflict with Russia and the new nation of Finland. It just did, because the capital of Russia or the Soviet Union, or a major city in the Soviet Union, because the capital of the Soviet Union was Moscow and still is Moscow for Russia, you have a target or a tasty little treat that other countries will look at. Finland a little bit, especially in the continuation war, will look at, and it's very tempting, and we want to invade that. And as a country who has that city in possession, you look at that and be like, oh, this is a major weak spot, we should definitely defend it a lot more, or think about it a lot. Part of the reason this took a lot longer, because I think Quintus Sertorius probably took 2 years to do. But I had been thinking about it for a little while. I had been reading about it. I was really into Rome at that point. I still am. So it was a lot easier. But Quintus Sertorius had less sources. The Winter War has a lot of sources. Like, for Quintus Sertorius, my two main sources were Philip O. Span's Quintus Sertorius and the Legacy of Sulla. And then I used Plutarch. And you kind of have to take Plutarch with a grain of salt, because sometimes he's taking the smelling salts, or he's taking in an ether that makes him go crazy or whatever. So really, my main source here that I based a lot of my season off of is Philip O. Span. Oh, I also based it off of a biography by last name Matizak. I don't know his first name off the top of my head. And he did a biography on Quintus Sertorius. I also based it off of that, too. I used those two as my basis, maybe three. This season, I used three main sources. The thing I relied heavily off of, our Bible in this case, for lack of a better term, is A Frozen Hell by William R. Trotter. We use that, and I use that pretty extensively. I also use Finland at War by Vesa Neely. I also used, and this was the other thing I really like hammered that on, is the Soviet invasion of Finland, 1939-1940, by Carl van Dijk. Those three sources were very comprehensive, very thick, and good for some sort of balance I could do for the series. William R. Trotter, as I said, his prose is provocative, evocative. It makes you feel like you're there, but from a Finnish lens. You feel the plight of the Finns in this war way more than you feel in the Soviet view. If you've noticed, I tried to bridge the gap between Finnish soldiers and Finland's plight, which is righteous and a cause anyone can get behind, and the plight of the average Red Army soldier, especially in those first months, like December and January, and try to get people to understand that. Vesa Neely completely comes at it from a Finnish lens, and you can understand why a lot of people will get at it from a Finnish lens. Once again, I look at it as just like, that's a righteous cause. Like, no matter how many reasons, logical reasons, the Soviet Union invaded Finland, the act of defending your country from an invader, from an outsider, is a righteous thing, and a thing that we should laud and celebrate in a lot of ways. But when talking about analysis in any sort of way, we look at it, it skews the way we think of the war, right? Because we're like, well, clearly Finland's right here. So we tend to read sources that and identify with sources that are coming out of the right party in this case. But here's also the thing, like, there are way more sources, especially at the time in the Cold War when the Soviet Union is this opaque thing that's not really open to Western scholars. A lot of the sources are coming from Finland, so you can't really blame a lot of people. And I got lucky with Carl Van Dyke because after the fall of the Soviet Union, he went into the archives and found a lot of stuff to basically try to balance it out. But you're still coming at it from the pro Finnish side. You know, there's very few people out here credibly taking the Soviet Union side in this instance, right? Coupled with a lot of sources, a lot of main sources, were a lot of secondary sources. I used Mike Duncan's Revolutions because at the time he was doing the Russian Revolution. So, and he started his discussion of the Russian Revolution with the foundation of the Romanov dynasty, which was way before Peter the Great, well, 200 years before Peter the Great, about. And that's a very good resource. Thank you for that. I also used A Great Terror, a 40-year, the 40-year anniversary is called The Reassessment by Robert Conquest for the purges, because that's an important thing. I based a lot of my World War I knowledge off of a YouTube series, The Great War, not the 1964 BBC version that you can find on YouTube, but the one they did started in 2014. That's a really good series, by the way. You should check that out. I also used what I knew from what I read about it and what I listened to. Obviously, I listened to Dan Carlin, so I've obviously listened to Blueprint for Armageddon. So that helped me and colored my understanding of it a little bit as well, coupled with the amount of sources I had to use. And there are way more that I made like a passing reference to. I used Bloodlands, Europe Between Hitler and Stalin by Timothy Snyder. That was a wonderful resource. It got me a lot more understanding of the Eastern Front during World War II. Also depressing as hell. So I used that too. I used a lot of those sources. The volume of material coupled with the volume of things going on in my life. I had recently gotten a new job when I started researching, and I had to deal with the first 2 years with Acacia. That was a lot. I had bought a house. So a lot of things going on in my life where I'm trying to be like, okay, I'm trying to find a balance. And sometimes this doesn't leave a lot of opportunity to record and research. And again, it's a lot of research. Like I do try to research a lot, probably too much. I probably overdo it, but I'd rather be overprepared than underprepared. So I can make at least a coherent narrative and arguments when I need to. Going back and listening to everything, I'm disappointed with my performance, but that's also a thing where like I'm always disappointed in what I do. I look at what I do, it's like, yeah, it's not really that good. So maybe, just maybe, it's a me thing and not a whoever's listening to this thing. I don't like the way I sound during the scripted episodes because it sounds like I'm reading, and I don't like the way I sound when I read. I'm probably not going to do that in the next season. We're going to try to figure something out. I'm probably going to go more off my dome than I'll obviously jot down some notes, but I think I'm going to go more off my dome than this one. I think I tried to shoehorn myself into something like Mike Duncan or Ancient History Fangirl done by Jenny Williamson and Jen McMenemy, or When Diplomacy Fails by Zach Twombly. Those podcasts that script their stuff out and read it and it actually sounds like they're not reading. But for me, it sounds like it's reading and it's really painful. So I'm probably not going to do that. We'll see how that goes. So speaking of more episodes, we are going to have at least two extended epics after this. And one of them is going to focus on the Russian invasion of Ukraine. I listen to various podcasts, like some of them political, some of them not. And the ones that are history and political based kind of mentioned it. The three that I'm thinking of are Congressional Dish by Jen Briney. She had an episode on that. Martyr Made by Daryl Cooper, whose politics for me are, how will I describe? Take what you like and leave the rest for me when it comes to his thinking about anything political. But he did have an interesting episode on the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Also, Dan Carlin released an episode on his Common Sense podcast, which is rare, so I'll I'll take that anytime it comes. And those three basically look at it from the perspective of, I don't want to say it's not a pro-Russian view, because it's not the way that view, but it's like context is important. It's just like, okay, invading someone is wrong. I'm going to get it. Invading someone is wrong, obviously. Like, I don't think anyone who's not in an outright imperialist is going to say invading is a good thing. No, it's not a good thing, right? But they tend to be around the consensus of like, okay, well, especially Dan and Jen, where you look at it from the perspective of like, well, if we have this Monroe Doctrine and Manifest Destiny thing going on, where we basically control all of the Western Hemisphere, why isn't Russia allowed to do that? Because we've invaded countries in our long history. Like, I was listening to the Dan Lebatard show yesterday, and Greg Cody was actually talking about the plight of a gang violence and gangs taking over in Haiti. And he was basically advocating for the United States supporting Haiti, which I don't know what that means, but usually what that means is sending in troops. And I look at that, I'm like, well, we've sent in troops before and it's still bad. And let's look at the context of us, you know, in getting involved in Haiti. And it's usually never really good. Might be like neutral-ish good, if you understand what I'm saying. In addition to those three sources who give you the idea of like, okay, well, I don't really like the fact that Russia invaded Ukraine. Ukraine's autonomy should be respected. I listened to Zach Twombly's thoughts on that, and he thinks completely differently about that. So I'll get into that in a lot more detail in the next episode. And the one after that is going to be very, very uncomfortable for everybody, because I'm going to try to make an argument that the separation that the West likes to do between it and Nazi Germany is not real, and it's not an actual thing. And a lot of the things that Nazi Germany did were built on things built explicitly and implicitly by certain Western civilizations. I'm looking forward to it. I'm also just like, oh God, that's gonna be a bad time for everybody involved. And I'm going to try to do some interviews. I think I looked this up. People I want to talk to, I'm pretty sure Carl Van Dyke I can't find. I can't find him. I tried to find him. And I think I'm looking up William R. Trotter right now. So if you hear me typing. Yeah, he died in 2018. So I can't really interview him, which kind of sucks. Let me look up this other person. But I would like to be able to talk to people. There are a couple other people that I can talk to that I have ideas about. So we might have some interviews going on as well. And then after that, we're going to reboot for the next season of Eclipse Epics. I'm not going to tell you exactly what the next season is. But like I told you, there were a lot more sources for this one than there were for Quintus Sartorius, and unfortunately I'm crazy, and there are a lot more sources for the next one, and I'm almost done with all of them, than the Winter War, and it's a longer war, and it's a war, I'll give you that, it's a way longer war, so it's gonna be a lot more work again, so we'll see how that goes. I thank you guys for bearing with me, I thank you for listening to me, and have a good day until we talk again.